In our world, nearly on a daily basis, the news and other outlets around that tend to be against religion make sure that we get a healthy dose of every type of false religion that is doing something unseemly. Every Christian out there that would proclaim or say that they are a Christian doing something that they shouldn't, and try to apply that to the whole. You know, one of the greatest problems of the church today is the distance placed between us and everyday people, between the church and everyday people. More and more people are avoiding what they call organized religion because they look and they see so much of these things that are put out there. They see false formality. They see even within the Lord's church false formality. They see even within the Lord's church hypocrisy. And you know, these are things that we should take very seriously, to know that our actions can have such an impact upon people and their decisions as to whether they want to follow Jesus Christ or not, as they look at us, as whether or not we shine the light of Christ or whether we are living as the Pharisees and the Sadducees were, lives of hypocrisy, which the world quickly identifies. But the only way that we're going to have success in regaining people to the church is for us to live daily for Christ. For us to have everyday religion. In God's Word, go ahead and open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. In God's Word, a group of everyday people became something very special because they practiced everyday religion. It made a difference. It changed common people into something unique and special, and it can still be done for us today. Beginning with verse 40 here in Acts chapter 2, it says, "And with many other words he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation." That's Peter. That's him continuing. That's kind of the summation of the rest of the sermon that he preached there on the day of Pentecost. And it says, "Then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls." So we have these first 3,000 of the Lord's people baptized on this day of Pentecost, and let's look at what they became. "They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to the church daily," or adding to their number, "day by day, those who were being saved." That's what they became. Those 3,000 who had their hearts pricked on that day of Pentecost that said, "What shall we do?" When they came to understand that with wicked hands they had crucified and slain the Son of God. And they asked, "What must we do?" And Peter told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is to you and to your children and to all those who are far off. And this is what they became. Look at some of the words that we find there in that text. In verse 42, we see that they were continually in the apostles' doctrine, in the things of the church. In verse 46, they were day by day continuing. In verse 47, it was day by day that the Lord was adding to their numbers. It was not a Sunday, Wednesday kind of thing, was it? It was a day by day, it was a continual, it was a daily religion that they were living. And these common people, because of this daily religion that they were living, became extraordinary, didn't they? As the Lord's church began that day and went forth into all the world in just a few short years. We need to have this same formula here in the church and in our daily lives. We need daily religion. And what does daily religion mean? Let's think about that for just a moment. First of all, daily religion means daily following Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me." Do you want to follow Christ? Jesus said, "If anyone desires to come after Me, if you want to come to Christ today, this is what you have to do," Jesus says, right? "You must take up your cross, you must sacrifice yourself, and you must follow Me," Jesus says. You know, when we see Andrew and or John and James, rather, as at the very beginning there in John chapter 1, we see them come to Jesus, and they said, "We want to know more about you." He says, "You come here with Me. You follow Me. Let Me take you to where I'm at." And He taught them. But see, they had to follow Him to where He went. When we see later as well, Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, and Matthew, every one of them was told by Jesus Christ, "Follow Me." You realize that's half the disciples? Half of the 12 disciples that we have, half of them, it's recorded Jesus specifically saying to them, "Follow Me." Jesus wants us to follow Him. You know, He meant when He told Peter, Andrew, James, and John, as they were there in their boats on the Sea of Galilee, and He walked up to them and said, "Follow Me and I will make you fishers of men." And they got up out of their boats and they went with Him, right? He wanted them to follow them not only that day or just down the street. He wanted them to follow Him every day after that, right? It wasn't something just about today. It was about daily living, daily following. When He came up to Matthew in his tax booth and He said, "Follow Me," He wasn't asking him just to follow Him here or there. He was asking him to follow Him the rest of his life. And what did those men do? They left the boats. They left the booth. And they followed Jesus Christ. You know, the rich young ruler was told as well to sell all that he had, give it to the poor. And Jesus said, "And follow Me." We can also see that in John chapter 10 and verse 27, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and My sheep follow Me." Right? I want to be a sheep. How about you? I want to be a sheep. I want to be under the good shepherd. I want to be able to say, as David said in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." What does that make me? That makes me a sheep. I want to be a sheep. And so I have to follow Him. I have to follow the shepherd. And that's what Jesus said. 21 times in the gospel accounts, Jesus says the words, "Follow Me." 21 times it's recorded to follow Me. Jesus wants us to follow Him. We need to take our cross and follow Jesus daily. And to do that is to live according to His will, not ours. And we can see that demonstrated in other texts in John chapter 8 with the adulterous woman, where Jesus tells her, when she says, "Well, do you condemn me?" He said, "No, I don't," because it wasn't His place to condemn her to death. He wasn't a judge. Jesus couldn't condemn her to death. It wasn't His place according to the law of Moses. It wasn't that He felt like what she did was okay. It wasn't that He didn't care about what she did, because His very response to her shows that He did, right? "Go and sin no more," right? Okay, you were caught in the very act. I'm acknowledging that it's sin, right? Don't do it anymore. Isn't that following Jesus? To go and sin no more. He came to this earth that you and I might be free from sin, right? So you should know the truth. The truth set you free. Set you free from what? From the sin and the death that accompanies it. To go and sin no more, He told that woman that day. When He told the parable of the Good Samaritan, when He reached the end of it, He told them to go and do likewise. To do as I have shown you, as I have illustrated to you. You know, you cannot have daily religion without daily following. What happens, whatever happens daily, take up your cross. Whatever happens daily, follow Jesus Christ. Whatever happens daily, be devoted to God's will. Every day is different, isn't it? Some days we wake up and we think it's going to be the greatest day ever, and it's a terrible day. But no matter whether it's a good day or a bad day, whether it rains or the sun shines, right? We do those things. We follow Jesus. We take our cross. We do His will. And I guarantee you, at the end of the day, we'll be blessed. No matter what the day may have held between morning and night. Second, daily religion means daily prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, the disciples ask Jesus something. They say, teach us to pray. Right? And then Jesus gives us what oftentimes the world calls the Lord's Prayer, right? But it's not really the Lord praying. It's the Lord teaching them how to pray. It really should probably be referred to as the model prayer. He's showing us how to pray. If you want to look at the Lord's Prayer, John 17 is probably what we should call the Lord's Prayer, as he prayed there on the night before he died with his disciples. But here Jesus gives us the model prayer. And in verse 11, he states, give us this day our daily bread. Oh, we probably have that prayer memorized, right? And we can go right through it and we'll say that statement right there. But do you get what that statement's saying? If I'm going to ask for God to feed me today, I'm going to have to do it every day, right? Jesus says, you pray for your food every day. Don't pray for your food for the rest of the week. You pray for your daily bread today. So that implies that Jesus wants us to pray daily, right? I want to eat every day. How about y'all? I need to pray for my daily bread. But I think there's a part of us that struggles with this. I think we have a hard time appreciating this because we are people that have so much. It's hard for us to grasp daily bread because we all have refrigerators full of spoiling food. Hopefully it's not fuzzy yet. You found that though, haven't you? Who hasn't found fuzzy food in your... And I'm not talking about peaches. Although they can get that way too. A little more than they should be. But we have spoiling food in our refrigerators. We have it in our cupboards and in our pantries and in our freezers and our storerooms. We have so much food that if we couldn't go buy food for the next 2 weeks, most of us could probably survive. Maybe more than that. We don't have an understanding. But see, people in Jesus' day did. They lived day by day, right? That was the power of the miracle of feeding the 5,000, or the power of the miracle of the feeding of the 4,000, was that those people ate until they were filled. The Bible tells us that, right? Because that was so unusual. They rarely had a day where they had enough to eat where they were filled. And that's why they ran around the Sea of Galilee after he fed the 5,000, ran around to find him the next day. And in John chapter 6, they're going, hey, give us some more. Because that is awesome. And we don't have any concept of that. It's so hard to understand. Give us this day our daily bread. Watch the Planet Earth series from the Discovery Channel. And one of the most interesting stories, but really the only one I really remember that really just kind of stuck with me, was the one about this Vietnamese man. He was a fisherman. And he would fish on the Mekong River. And he would go out there and he would fish every day. And folks, his family, his children, his wife, he did not eat if he did not catch fish. Dads, how would that make you feel on a daily basis if you knew your children would not have food if you didn't find it today? That the supper table would be bare. That man goes out every day and he fishes. And if you've ever done much fishing, you know some days they don't bite, right? And it shows him, and the river is flowing. It's so heavy. It's the monsoon time, so the river's really up and it's flowing really fast. And there's this itty bitty island that there out there is the best fishing. And he strung up a cable when the river wasn't so rapid. And he walked out there, and if he falls off, he's dead. He's gone. There's no chance. But he goes out there and he puts himself in the middle of that rushing river to catch one fish for the chance of catching a fish. And then he's got to get back across that single wire back to the other side with the fish on him. All to get his daily bread. You think he takes daily bread for granted? No. He knows very much about it. You know, in our country, those that have endured or lived through the Great Depression, they understand this. I remember Brother Clifford, an elder that I served under for 5 years. Wonderful man, lived through the Great Depression, and he saved everything. Everything. He had 40 years of those ties that come off feed bags in his barn. He didn't throw those away. They were like this long on a pole in his barn. We were helping him when he was down in his back, and we went and we looked through his freezer, and we looked at the aspirin he was taking. It was 20 years old. I don't know if there's an expiration date on aspirin, but I don't really want to find out by taking it. But he had that bottle. 20 years old or not, you can't waste. I can't throw that away. That's good aspirin. Look, there's still pills. He had meat that was older than me in his freezer. It may be good. I don't know. I didn't want to chance it. But he didn't throw away anything because he lived in a time when they literally lived day to day. That the kids went out and they worked because the whole family had to bring the income in just to scrape together enough to buy the food for today. He understood that. And so he lived with that ever before his mind. You know, the problem is I think we've forgotten to be thankful for so much that we have because we do have so much. And we don't see it. We see it as common. We see it as expected. And we fail to see it as a blessing, don't we? I expect when I open the cabinet for there to be a bag of chips. I expect when I open the cabinet to be tons of food for me to choose from, cans out in the garage. I expect that. And sometimes that expectation and the commonality of it causes us to forget what a blessing it is, right? That God gave that to us. Being thankful and understanding that God has given us that, we need to ask Him for that. And asking Him for it reminds us who gives it to us, right? Being thankful for what we have reminds us daily what God does for us and reminds us to ask Him for our daily bread each day because God is the one that gives it. You do not get your food from Harris Teeter or Lowe's or Food Line. You get your food from the one that provides it, just as He does for the birds. They do not toil, they do not reap, but yet their Heavenly Father feeds them, right? That's what Matthew chapter 6 tells us. How much more will He feed you? Why ask Him for your daily bread if He's not the one that gives it? Remember where it comes from. It doesn't come because you work today. It comes because God gave you the ability to work today, that you could be able to buy it. Now, we need to remember these things. Daily prayer means daily appreciation. Jesus expected appreciation, did He not? Remember when He healed the ten lepers in Luke chapter 17, right? And the one came back, and Jesus asked the question, where are the nine? Were there not 10 that I healed? He expected to be thanked, didn't He? He expected appreciation for what He had done, and only one man gave it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, Paul tells us to pray without ceasing, but he also tells us that in everything give thanks. So we need to be people of daily prayer. You cannot have daily religion without daily prayer. Daniel showed that to us, didn't he? And other great men of the Bible. Third, daily religion means daily exhortation. The writer of Hebrews writes in chapter 3 and verse 13, exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You know, in Acts chapter 2, we see those first Christians. They were daily encouraging one another as they fellowshiped and as they worshiped together on an everyday basis. And we need to be reminded that God expects a high standard from us. We need to be encouraged to live worthy of the cross of Jesus Christ. We need our brethren daily reminding us to live faithful for God. Because see, it is easy, isn't it, to fall back into sinful habits? So easy. That's why habits are hard. Because it's so easy to fall right back into them. Their comfort zones tend to be. It is easy to justify ourselves in our own eyes, to be, as the book of Judges says, to be right in our own eyes. It's so easy for me to look at my life and my failures and what I don't do and what I should do and to somehow give myself a reason as to why I did or did not do those things, right? And I will so stick with myself. It's always a good reason. I never think when I give myself a reason, it's a bad reason. I don't argue with myself. So it's easy. It's easy to blind ourselves to our poor decisions. I just don't want to see it. I'm not going to pay attention. You know, to pull a Scarlett O'Hara, right, from Gone with the Wind? I'll just think about that tomorrow. Can't think about that today. And just blind ourselves to these things. You know, to forget what we need. It's so easy to forget what we need to do in our lives to be faithful to God daily. We need our brethren to remind us. To remind us and encourage us to be faithful. Don't be fooled. You know, notice what he said, the writer of Hebrews said. He said that our hearts not become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin's deceitful, isn't it? And it will make us deceitful in regard to ourselves. We need other people to be objective and to encourage us to do what is right. Don't be fooled into thinking that daily religion can exist without daily encouragement. You might not want to hear some of the things that you need to hear. I might not want to hear some of the things that I need to hear. You need to know that you still need to hear it if you want to be right before Christ. You know, we need to be encouraged every day, and we need to be encouragers on a daily basis. That's daily religion. Fourth, daily religion includes daily Bible study. In verses 46 and 47 of Acts chapter 2, there is a definite indication that along with encouragement, there was daily effort made to get together for fellowship as well as Scripture study. That they were continually in the apostles' doctrine. That's teaching, isn't it? Doctrine, that's that word is teaching. People get all wound up about the word doctrine, and all that word is teaching. I mean, when you want to take doctrine out of the church, you realize what you just took out? Teaching. Why are we even here? Why am I up here? I know some of you don't answer that. Or maybe you don't have an answer for that. I don't know. Doctrine's just teaching. So they were engaged in the apostles' teaching continually. And so there was a daily effort with God's Word. And what was the result of this daily effort with God's Word? Well, we see it at the very end that the Lord added daily to their number, right? Does the church today, in general, add daily? Do we provide an opportunity for the Lord to add daily, maybe? Or is ours more weekly? Or less? And could that be reflective of exactly what we give? Of how much our religion is? If it's a Sunday, Wednesday religion, it might be just weekly. But if it's a daily religion, it's going to be daily. And we need to follow the example of these first Christians here in Acts chapter 2 as they lived daily, gave themselves to God's Word daily. And we see the result was daily, that the Lord added daily to their number. Christianity that stays in the church building is a convenient religion. It's not hard to show up on Sunday and Wednesday. But it's hard to live it outside these walls, isn't it? It was always easy for me at Christian camp to be a Christian. You know why? Because everybody else there was a Christian. And it was so easy to... But you know, and we go to Christian camp and then we go, man, I'm so excited. And we get back and the world just beats us down, right? Just beats that excitement right out of us. And so it's easy in the walls, but it's hard out there. But out there is where the target is, and that's the lost world. Out there is where religion needs to be lived, as well as in here. It is the weightier matter. Only through daily Bible study will there be real growth spiritually in you. Only through daily Bible study will there be real growth in a congregation. Only through daily Bible study will there be real growth in the kingdom of God. There will be a daily effort made to study God's Word in a Christian that has daily religion. Last of all, daily religion involves daily service. You know, we serve people first and foremost of all by providing them access to the saving truth of Jesus Christ. That's the number one thing people need. The greatest need in this world is Jesus Christ. And without that, everything else is just irrelevant. Because everything else is heading to an eternity of lostness without that. They need Jesus Christ. You know, but we're also called to serve one another, to do good unto all men, but especially those of the household of faith, right? Paul told the Galatians in Galatians chapter 6. So we're to serve one another. We're to serve those in need, to be people of compassion, kindness, and love, to help those that have need of help. You ever thought about this? God is not in need of anything. There's nothing this morning that you can give God that he needs. He's God. He's all powerful. He has all things. He needs nothing. People need. They need Jesus Christ. They need help as they are lost in this world, as they are lost in the lies of this world. God does not need, people do. And we are called to reveal the manifold wisdom of God to those people. Jesus told us to become servants, not political servants, but humble servants. See, that's the taking up your cross that he said earlier about follow me. Taking up your cross is sacrificing self. That's being the humble servant to serve one another. John chapter 13, he said you need to wash each other's feet. You need to serve each other. To do the lowliest of jobs for each other. James chapter 1 and verse 27, James tells us, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, to literally look after orphans and widows in their trouble. We see Paul talk about widows indeed and the church's responsibility to help them. We see in Acts chapter 6, right, that the church was feeding the Hellenistic widows. They were doing exactly what James said later, but they were doing it at the very beginning, caring and serving for those that had need. You cannot have daily religion without daily service. You may realize your need for daily religion this morning. I hope that if you haven't been living daily, I hope you do realize that. I hope you do. But you know, wherever you are, think about what means the most to you. Think about that place where the thing that you most enjoy. Maybe it's a hobby. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's a place. Maybe it's the beach. Maybe it's the mountains. Maybe wherever. You're there. Put yourself there right now. Jesus walks by. Says, follow me. Not over here. Not over there. But the rest of your life. Wherever I go, you follow. What do you do? Peter, James, John, Matthew, they left it. They left their daddy, they left their boats, they left their tax booth, and they went, right? Nothing else was more important than to follow him. And they followed him daily. They did so for the rest of their lives. This morning, Jesus says to you, follow me. Will you leave all and live daily following him, having taken up your cross, sacrificed self so that your entire life is focused on one person, and that's Jesus Christ and what he wants and how he wills, and that you might be ever like him more every day. He wants you to follow him, not just today, but he wants you to follow him every day, that you draw the breath of life on this life, breath of life in this world, and at the end, you will get to spend eternity with him forever. That's wonderful. That's good news. That's the gospel. This morning, if you're not a child of God, Jesus asked you to follow him. He died on a cross so that you could follow him. But you've got to make a decision this morning. I don't know what's been holding you back, why you haven't made that choice. But whatever it is, you need to sacrifice it. You need to take up the cross. The cross there, when Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me, that is, you got to kill self. You got to kill whatever reason you may be selfishly holding back from giving your life to Jesus Christ. You got to kill that this morning and just follow him. Do that by believing in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and be buried in baptism, raised to walk a new life, a life that follows the Master, the Good Shepherd. This morning, maybe you're a child of God. Maybe your religion has been haphazard. Maybe it's been Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Or maybe it's just Sunday. Maybe just Sunday, Wednesday. That's not enough. 6 days is not enough. 7. Daily. Continually. That's what God expects out of you. To live for him every single day. If you haven't been doing that, make the decision right now to do it. Repent for the fact that you haven't. confess that to the Father. He is faithful and just to forgive you according to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. And go forth to walk in the light daily with the Savior that died for you. Follow Him. If we can assist you in following Jesus Christ this morning, we hope and pray that you will let us as we stand and as we sing.